Hey, we're back here not with Amanda Price, but with Bob Janetsky. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Duke. It's great to be back on Talk of the Town on Amanda Price's Monday time slot as opposed to the Friday slot. I bet it's the same intelligent, exciting audience that really keeps up on issues.
Yeah, they're pretty smart.
I know, so I'm going to have to stay on my game and brush up.
And I got a question right now I'm going to ask you.
Right off the bat, no softball.
About Proposal 1. Now, the question is, we do away with all this tax. What do we get? How do we get replace that money?
Well, there's and that's what the big issue is with Proposal 1. Keep in mind that in 2012, the legislature voted to eliminate the business personal property tax.
Yeah.
And then and this is part of why it's so complex. The legislature voted to replace some of that revenue, but only up to 80% of the revenue if more than 2% of the entire local municipality's budget is covered by the business personal property tax.
Okay.
I think of communities like Allegan that close to $1 million of business personal property tax comes to the city of Allegan because of Perrigo and other entities down there. So that proposal back in 2012 eliminated business personal property tax and then covered that money with tax credits that were coming offline from a lot of these battery tax credits when the legislature was basically paying people to turn out lithium ion batteries and things like that, and with some money from the use tax, siphon off some of that. But it only covered 80% of what local municipalities were losing, and then part of it, part of the remaining proposal back then was to allow locals to vote to replace the remaining 20% of the loss with some sort of local millage for emergency services.
Okay.
If they couldn't cover emergency services. There were a lot of concerns and a lot of challenges back then. Matter of fact, one state rep even said some of it wasn't constitutional. Now, keep in mind that I voted to eliminate the business personal property tax because it's a terrible, awful, archaic tax, and it's probably more cumbersome to even calculate what people owe than to, in fact, write out the check and send it. In that sense, it's just a foolish tax. Most of the other states around us have gotten rid of the business personal property tax. So I voted to eliminate it, but I didn't vote for the replacement. And it wasn't that I don't care about our local municipalities. I couldn't explain it. It was so difficult to go around and explain how that money was going to be replaced or not be replaced if you have less than a 2% of your local budget being covered by it. So I voted to eliminate it, but not for the replacement because I was really challenged in explaining it. And I don't know that the proposal that's on the August ballot is much better than it, but we'll take you through what Proposal 1 does. Why counties, cities, townships, and school districts and ISDs all like Proposal 1 is because it guarantees 100% replacement for them. They lose nothing out of the elimination of the business personal property tax. So a yes vote on Prop 1 eliminates the business personal property tax and then guarantees 100% replacement of the revenue to all of the entities that currently get revenues from the business personal property tax. And I know that I've gone on a long time already answering this question. How it'll replace that, though, is through, again, the battery tax credits coming offline. Basically, that's money that was committed was committed to be spent out or paid out to companies to develop those batteries. When those credits aren't spent or when that money stops going out to those companies, that is money that would go into the general fund. That'll be now sectioned off, siphoned off, and turned over to those entities that currently get the business personal property tax revenue. And then there will also be some money, part of the ballot, the language in the ballot initiative sections off a portion of the use tax revenues and some of the sales tax revenues to replace that at 100%. Again, it's difficult because people ask, well, you know, how did you vote? I did the same way. I voted yes to eliminate the business personal property tax, but no on the replacement because it is very difficult to explain. It's a challenge, but I will tell you that your local school districts, your libraries, your ISDs, your cities, your townships, your villages, they all like this proposal because it guarantees them 100% replacement of funding that they were otherwise only going to get 80% of under the previous plan. And if it doesn't pass, everything stays the same as it was, meaning the business gross property tax is still in place.
Okay.
So it is complex.
We're here with Bob Janetsky this morning, and if you have a question, you may call and talk to Bob directly, and maybe we'll have something that's a little easier to answer.
If they're all as tough as that, you kind of know. But again, that's why when you look at my voting record in Lansing, if you have that much challenge coming back and explaining something at home, I voted no on it. I could not, in just a few sentences, help people understand exactly what it does. Now, there's people probably over at City Hall right now cussing my name because of that. But people get frustrated when they don't understand.
Yeah.
I think the language on this ballot is very challenging.
Yeah. Okay. Good. 395-1450 here. Talk the Town if you'd like to talk to Bob. And what else is new on the voting front?
Well, I'll tell you, this morning, started my morning out down in South Haven with Congressman Upton and a few other dignitaries. We're learning about efforts that the U.S. government is making to pair up with the state as far as marketing tourism. And if you've been in any one of our lakeshore cities over the last couple of days, you've seen some really neat things as far as sales tax revenue, because you see all those out-of-state parking plates in the parking spots, and you know that we're taking in a lot of money on that. So that's a good thing. Hearing a lot of good things from the merchants as far as people's spending habits from out-of-state, and we're excited about the potential there. In addition, had the Butch Jones the Jones family Memorial Garden dedicated last week in Saugatuck.
That was exciting.
That was a neat event. Good to see Betty Jones there. You know, she's just a neat, neat lady, and Butch and the entire family are mainstays there. And
of course, I worked with Lyle for many years.
You know, Lyle was a good man. He may have cut me a few breaks when I was a kid. You know, with with whatever.
No, go ahead, forget it. Okay, got a call here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hello. Hello, your guest said that the bill was extremely complicated to explain.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Well, he comes across on the radio, anyway, as a very intelligent, articulate individual. Why would I don't know if it was a Republican-sponsored bill or a Democratic-sponsored bill. I guess it doesn't matter. But why would they write it so difficult that one of their own can explain it to us common people? That just doesn't make sense.
It's the nature of an awful lot of government. And as I said, it's difficult because looking at the August ballot, I voted yes on half of what's on there and then no on the remaining part that I couldn't explain. When you get to writing laws and writing budgets, I think there's a lot of complexities in there. And one of the things that I've tried to do in my office is make things as understandable as possible. You know, I'm a former teacher, so I like to be able to break things down and help people understand them. And the business personal property tax revenue has been one of the most complex and cumbersome challenges that I've seen in doing so. Now, you know, it passed in a bipartisan manner, and that's why it appears on your ballot. I think it had to pass with a large majority of bipartisan support in order to be on your ballot.
So you're saying because it's bipartisan, it's difficult for the average person to understand?
No, not at all. I'm not saying that it's that because it's bipartisan that it's difficult. I'm just saying that I struggle with explaining where all the funding streams and are going and where all the revenue is coming, and so I assume that other people will have a challenge with it as well. Go ahead.
I don't disagree with that at all. You're right. These laws can be complicated, but when you sit down and read them, you know, when you actually sit down and read them, line by line, I'm by no means a lawyer. I'm glad to say that. But, you know, when you sit down and read them line by line, most of the time, even for an average guy like me, you can understand them. But when you can't understand a law, then that says something about our legislative body, don't you think?
I understand it. I just struggle to bring it back and explain it to the average citizen who's much more concerned about, you know, getting the kids to soccer practice, making sure they've got enough gas to fill up their tank and not having to raid their savings to do that. So I think that it's explainable. It's just not an easy explanation. It covers this piece that's on the August ballot that a lot of your local officials want you to vote for, by the way, covers a couple of different funding streams and a couple of different tax entities that are going to have a challenge if it doesn't pass.
Do you think legislative members write complicated bills so they can get them by where, kind of bamboozle us?
I can't speak for every legislator. I can tell you that I personally don't like complicated legislation that makes it difficult for people.
I appreciate your stand, and not, if you can't explain it, vote against it. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, 395-1450. It's the way they replace the tax monies that they would lose on this.
Yes, that's accurate. The way
that's complicated.
They would, very complicated, yeah. It comes from at least three different funding sources as I look at that. And it also, you know, breaks down the percentage of amount of revenue that your local entity would receive from the business personal property tax. And as I've gone to a couple of different township meetings, several people have read to me, Bob, you know, what exactly does this language mean? Well, if you give me 10 minutes, I can explain it. And a lot of people tune out and their eyes glaze over after about two. That being said, your local officials very much want you to vote in favor of this because they don't want to see that revenue go away. And you know, a lot of business owners would like to see the business personal property tax go away, and so would I, which is why I voted for the elimination.
Of course, local government gets some of the tax, and that's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They depend on that. It's built in their budgets.
Very much so. All right. Good morning. Talk to town.
Good morning. Bob, are you in your second term or third term?
No, sir. I'm in my third term. I'm termed out. Lame duck. Short,
okay.
Short time. What was that? The one guy called me a couple of weeks ago.
Well, what I was wondering is, are you going to go back into teaching? Or what do you hold for yourself for the future? That's what I want to know. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. I wouldn't mind going back to education. I really enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it. It was very fulfilling, and I didn't have to drive an hour and a half away to it. So if the right situation came up, I would love to get back into teaching or education. You know, keep in mind it's more difficult to do in the sense that because of the merit curriculum, because of a lot of regulations, I used to teach at-risk students, and because of the merit curriculum and a lot of other state regulations, a lot of those alternative schools have closed now for those kids who kind of slipped through the cracks. So it'd have to be the right situation, but I was very blessed in teaching and learned an awful lot from my students that I take with me to Lansing.
And you probably did a lot of your students very much good.
I pray so, you know. It's neat to follow them on Facebook now and see them as moms and dads and taxpayers paying property tax, and they'll send me a note here and there about they don't like gas prices or this, and it's healthy interaction. Good to see young adults growing up and becoming responsible adults.
Well, something really surprised me this past weekend, Bob. They didn't raise the gas prices.
You know, Duke, I think they all know that we've got the bullseye. My taxpayers have had it with the gas prices right now. You're right. They got us good at Memorial Weekend, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we're still our pockets are still recovering from that.
But this weekend, I look, still down there, still down
usually
there.
You can depend on that.
Buy your gas quick.
No rush on the gas stations. But while we're talking about gas and roads, Duke,
had
some really exciting news last week for Allegheny County. As you know, we got word late Thursday that the projects from the Road Risk Reserve Fund, again, that's money that we dedicated last year, about $350 million of surplus money to put directly and specifically toward roads. And we got a couple of projects, $1.4 million headed to Allegheny County to fix that stretch in along M40 through Hamilton from 136th Avenue south down 134th, and then over in Clyde Township along 118th. Very excited to announce those.
Very good. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Oh, good morning, Bob.
Yes.
I can't believe that the legislature 2 years ago voted to eliminate that personal property tax without a replacement.
No. They voted to eliminate it with the replacement, but it only replaced 80%.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
And then the remaining 20, it was up to local officials. If they wanted to, they could have implemented a local millage called some sort of an emergency services replacement millage.
Right, push the tax on the residents. But listen, why don't they just raise the corporate rate? Listen, Minnesota has a 9.8 Minnesota corporate income tax rate. Illinois currently has 7. They're going to lower it to 5.25. We have 6. Just raise that to 7 for the corporate. Our unemployment is 7.5 or 6, same as Illinois. And, you know, lowering that corporate tax didn't do anything for unemployment, not that much. We are one of the highest unemployment in the country right now. The average across the whole country is 6 point something. So raise that corporate tax to 7 and you got a replacement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if the ballot initiative fails, that may be one of the discussions. That was, in fact, what a lot of the Democrats wanted to impose, increase the CIT, the corporate income tax, which is what your major corporations, your GMs and your Chryslers and Perrigos and groups like that, that's what they pay, the CIT, the corporate income tax.
Of course, the corporation doesn't pay any tax. They just pass it on.
They pass it on to you, the consumer.
They don't pay anything.
No, they do not. They increase their prices and then you pay more.
And we got another call. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yeah. Good morning, Jude. Good morning, Bob. I think that if we check out Minnesota with that high corporate tax, businesses are leaving there. And I think that we've lost a lot of business in Michigan due to the way we had this thing structured in the past. And all anybody that seems to want to think about anything is charge corporations. Tell me what a corporation is without people working for it.
Out of business.
Thank you. So they don't pay any damn taxes in, is that correct? I think if we get back into having people pay taxes, equal and fair all across the board, I don't care if they're on welfare, they're taking our tax money, let them pay taxes with it. I think they forget how to pay taxes because they all get on the dole.
Well, you know, relative to that, every time I see one of my former students has become a new homeowner, I send him a note and congratulate him and said, now you get to gripe about property taxes, which I think is healthy. You know, we all, when everybody sees the same burden, when you see that bill, and my summer bill just arrived the other day.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
Oh, I know what you're saying. I agree.
Look at it this way. Okay, a home, all right?
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, Bob, you're going to need your home. I understand that, okay?
Right.
But what I'm saying is that people can lose their home to property taxes due to getting older, and you see what's taken place in the last few years. People's bank accounts ain't paying. You know, people used to make money on their money.
Right.
That ain't happening anymore.
Nope.
Now, what's going to happen when we start losing our homes, when these people start losing their homes due to property taxes in this state?
Well, and that's where Proposal A came from, remember? People were being millaged out of their homes.
I understand that. But instead of Proposal A, I think that we should have had a program go into place that we paid X amount of dollars for our license plates every year because everybody wants to drive. You could a lot of birds could have been taken care of with one stone, should I say.
Okay, you're going back to road funding there?
I'm talking about everything. If you look at certain states out there, they pay big money for a license tag for their cars every year. But you don't have to drive, do you? But
nope.
You do have to have a place to live.
That's correct.
See, if you look at like Nevada, there's no property taxes. And it's not because of the gambling. It's because they pay more money for their license plates.
Nevada also has no state income tax.
That's correct. That's because of the gambling. Okay? But as far as the property taxes, they pay big money for their license plates. And I think that we need to adopt something of that nature and omit the property taxes. Look at the number of cars on the road versus the number of houses in the state. I think we'd be by far farther ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And got another call. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yes. I think it was a woman that called and says, have more taxes on corporations. That's the way to be a failure. We're the highest taxed corporation in the world, and those taxes are just passed on to the consumer. Taxing more on corporations is not the answer. That's my point.
Well, okay. I appreciate that. When you think about our state income tax, the CIT, the corporate income tax, what you've got to remember is that there's still a federal corporate tax that everybody's got to pay, and ours is among the highest in the Western world, which is why you saw so many businesses going and locating in Ireland, because Ireland cut theirs to, 12.5%, probably over 10 years ago now. But yeah, there may be a low state income tax, but that federal tax on corporations is not cheap.
Let's take a look at the weather.
The weather is presented by HollandKia.com. View over 500 pre-owned vehicles by logging on to HollandKia.com.
Windy with isolated thunderstorms, a high of 76 today. Tonight, isolated thunderstorms, low 67. Tomorrow morning, thunderstorms, high 74. And Wednesday, more sun than clouds with a high of 71. Right now, we're at 74 degrees here in the Tulip City, and we're here with Bob Janetsky this morning. And he's explained all of the bills to us that we... It is difficult, isn't it, Bob, to explain all of them?
You know, I think every idea in Lansing starts off probably as what that legislator thinks is a great idea.
Yeah.
But I think they also need to keep in mind that you've got to go home to 110 state house districts and explain it to everybody. And you've got to explain that if you think it's a good idea or a bad idea. And it's a challenge because people have much better things to do in raising their kids and making sure that their kids' homework is done and making sure that their property taxes paid, that they can afford the mortgage and stuff like that. People have much bigger and important things to do than worry about what government is doing. And I think that they deserve us to be working especially hard on issues like that to make it as simple, transparent, and as open and accountable as they deserve.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yeah, I was just thinking, are we another Nancy Pelosi here? Pass it before you know what's in it?
No, I'm pretty confident we know what's in it. It's a good analogy, but that's interesting because it did pass in 2012, and now you're going to see the same thing up in front of you, but slightly different. We know what's in it. It's just very complex to explain.
Yeah. Well, of course, if you eliminate one tax, it gets put on something else.
Well, and you're right. In this case, it's not going to be replaced with another tax, as the individual called earlier to put it on corporations. It's going to be replaced with sectioning off or siphoning off or dedicating some of the general fund revenues, some of the use tax revenues, and then the money coming offline on the battery tax credits that would have gone back into the general fund.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's a hard thing to. Now, most, from what I understand, local governments, Chamber of Commerce are all saying vote yes on it.
They all are, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of go by what they know because they're in that type of business and know what's going on in the state and stuff.
Yeah, their membership definitely wants to get rid of the business personal property tax, and I want to get rid of it as well. It's a terrible tax.
Because I know I mentioned this to Duke last week. When he was on the farm, we got taxed for all the cows we had, machinery and all that kind of stuff at one time.
Yeah.
So that was a detriment to the farmers. So.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. And, okay, thanks, Bob.
Hey, have a great day.
Thank you, and thank you, Bob, for being our guest here today on Talk of the Town.
Hey, I want to wish Amanda Price and Roger a happy 35th anniversary that allowed me to come in on a Monday and enjoy some time
with you. Yeah, that was nice.
Appreciate it, Duke.